You pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our gospel lesson today includes several parts. We have two appearances of Jesus to his disciples, Jesus breathing the Holy Spirit unto the disciples, and also the disciple Thomas. Since I feel most of you probably heard quite a bit about Thomas in his part in the gospel, about being the doubter, I will forego that and focus on the first parts of the scriptures. So last week we celebrated the resurrection, but now is when we should be living that resurrection. That's our challenge in our faith. Living the resurrection is not always the easy thing to do. We get sidetracked by material things. Sort of like the movie where the dogs were talking, I can't remember the name of it, and all of a sudden, squirrel. That happens to us. We lose our attention. We lose our focus. We stray from our faith. We even stray from our belief. Belief in ourself, belief in others. There are days when we want to stay in bed and close out the world. Some days it seems easier that way and safer to lock all the doors of our house and to avoid the circumstances of our lives. Some days we want to run away and not deal with the reality of our lives. When we shut the doors of our mind or our heart, we limit ourselves, though. Every person, event, or idea that we lock out, regardless of the reason, we are locking ourselves in. And that's what happened to the disciples in today's gospel. It's Easter evening, the first day of the week, the day of the resurrection. It's the day of the empty tomb, the day Mary Magdalene declared, "I have seen the Lord." Close your eyes. Let's put yourself in that place. Frightened you'll be found by the Jews, maybe even the Romans. The doors are barred shut from the inside to keep others out, for fear of being arrested and even put to death for being followers of Jesus. You sit, silently grieving for yourself and need some form of certainty, security, and safety. But you're locked away from the outside. In John's gospel account, Jesus' tomb is open and empty. But for the disciples, they're in a place where the doors are locked, almost as if that had become their tomb. Even though Jesus has risen and he has been seen by Mary Magdalene, the disciples are so bound in that fear that they've forgotten Mary Magdalene's words of faith, hope, and love after seeing the resurrected Jesus. Their tomb was of fear, doubt, and blindness. And all this after only 1 week. Their teacher and leader was gone, and they didn't seem to understand Jesus had been resurrected. So in one week's time, he appeared to them twice. Let's think about that. They had been with Jesus since the beginning of his ministry. Yet they were still afraid. He had taught them. He continued to teach them and lead them while he was healing, while he was working for his ministry to grow and to spread. So this life that they had imagined with Jesus was alive, when he was alive, seemed to be put aside. So this was the time that it was probably most important for the disciples to act on their faith and to carry on the teachings and the message of Jesus. So how does the story change from being afraid? Fortunately, it changes because Jesus understood his disciples and exactly what they needed. He understood they needed to be nurtured and reassured, not admonished. It began when Jesus appeared to the same disciples who had abandoned him before and were assembled in fear. It continued when Jesus said to the disciples gathered, "Peace be with you." Such a simple sentence. But that had to have had the most calming effect for those that were present. so much so that Jesus' showing up caused them to rejoice. But I imagine those words, "Peace be with you," do not have quite the same meaning today that it did at that point in time with the disciples. It was the embodiment of what Jesus did and what Jesus, who Jesus was. Excuse me. It was a certainty. It was security. It was safety. And obviously the relief that the disciples needed. He had called them and taught them. Now he was preparing them to show up throughout the world. It continued with him inviting and commissioning the disciples to continue to do his work. "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is part of the 3-year preparation of the disciples to go out and spread the good news and to forgive sins to all people throughout the known world. Is our life so much different? Are we living in the freedom and joy of resurrection, or are we locked behind those doors? Is our life different after the resurrection? If not, what are the locked doors of our lives? What locks up our heart and our mind every day? When John describes the doors and locks he's speaking about more than a house, more than physical locks. He's also describing the spiritual condition of the disciples, kept locked away from the outside. What keeps you and I locked in those places in our lives? It could be fear, like the disciples. It could be that we have questions, disbelief, or conditions that we place on our faith, just like Thomas. It could be some sort of loss, anger, or resentment. For most of us, it's the difficulty in opening up to new ideas, possibilities, and change. Almost 4 years ago, I decided to interview for administrative positions in the school system. After the first round of interviews, I was called back in by the superintendent, and she said, "I'd like to offer you a leadership opportunity." I said, "Okay." And she told me the school. And when she told me the school, I kind of like, I'm not quite so sure about that. I'd even joked with her when she said it, because there was another high school that there was an opening. I said, "Didn't you say such and such instead of this school?" She said, "No." She said, "I said this school, and specifically because I need you in that building." She gave me some time to think about it. So I went home, thought it over, prayed about it quite a bit, talked with Jennifer, talked with my daughters, and then made a few phone calls to some other administrators in the county that were friends of mine and talked to them. Still, I wasn't completely convinced. So the next Monday morning, was called back to the superintendent's office, and she sat down with me and she talked to me, and she said, "I know you've been in at one school for 23 years, and it's a frightening thing to do, to change and move and do something different." She said, "But I believe you're ready. You've had the degree for quite a while. You're involved in things. Your administration supports you, and they believe that you will be good, and you'll do a fine job." So with a little bit of reservation, I went ahead and took the position. Again, I still had reservations. I wasn't quite sure. I had lost a little bit of faith in myself. But in the end, I had 2 very good years there before I moved on to where I am now. It was a small leap of faith in the big picture. But because of that first change, knowing what was going on, the second change 2 years ago was not nearly as difficult, because I'd already experienced the hardest part. I knew that I was prepared, and I knew that I could complete the job. Even so, I prayed again, and yet my fears were calmed by the Holy Spirit. I heard that, "Peace be with you." But nevertheless, fear is a powerful motivator in our decision making. especially when we get locked into a situation. Even so, it's times like these when Jesus enters the locked places in our lives. Unexpected, sometimes even unwanted, Jesus shows up in our lives. He stands among us, offers us peace, and breathes new life into us, the same as he did with his disciples. He doesn't open the door for us, but he gives us all we need so that we might open ourselves to a new life and a life of faith and action. So it's up to us to share the good news today and tomorrow and the day after. We should be like the disciples receiving that Holy Spirit, rejoicing and being happy. That was the beginning of their ministry throughout the known world outside of Jerusalem. That was their invitation to receive and share the Holy Spirit. And all this is possible for us because of God's forgiveness and Jesus' daily invitation for us to take time to live the resurrection, not just today, but every day. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.